Will the House please come to order? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto, Berger, Blake, Flickery, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Harvey, 58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer today is given by Chaplain Milan Norgauer, representing Northwoods Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne. Pray.
Almighty and most gracious God, we read in your word that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so we thank you today for all of your good gifts. We thank you for this state in which we are privileged to live, for its beautiful and bountiful land, for its natural resources, for its generous and hardworking people. We thank you for the peace and prosperity and freedom that we all enjoy. We thank you for your good gift of civil government and for the rule of law. I thank you, gracious God, for the Wyoming State Legislature, for this House, and I ask that you would give them strength and grace for their final days of work in this session. May the work that they do and the laws that they pass be pleasing to you. May they tend to your glory and to our good. May these legislators know and feel your presence and your blessing. For we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, 20 minutes. Will the House please come to order? Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 26, 2010 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbuto.
Privileges of the floor. Representative Roscoe, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like all of you to welcome some friends of mine from Jackson Hole, that far remote corner of the state. Leadership Jackson Hole, the men and women, and their leader, Mary Martin. Their number 22 on your license plate and 22 in your heart.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. The doctor of the day is Dr. Stephen Trent. Dr. Trent is here with us in the back. Thank you, doctor, for being here with us today. Representative Bagby, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Up here in this gallery, I'd like to introduce my wife of 51 years, Joanne, and my little grandson, Billy, who come all the way over here today. He's 13. He wants to see how the legislature works.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Representative Illaway, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members of the legislature, around this area of the House is some artwork that I'd just like to bring to your attention. Your legislative artwork donation program, of which I am a member, obtained several pieces of art this year, and it's a, you have on your desks about the legislative artwork donation program. Before I tell you just a little bit about the art for a minute, if you have any artists in your district that would be interested in either donating or loaning for a display during the legislature, we'd love to know about it. But in the House, we obtained from Laney Hicks Smorgasbord, which is over in that far corner with the moose and the John Deere tractor. We figured that that was one of the pieces that really exemplified agriculture in the state. I've known Laney Hicks for a number of years. That's donated. You'll notice that there are some plaques on it. The other one on the far wall is Windmill at Battle Road by Robert D. Tuck. It's a watercolor painting located over there. We had it reframed, but I thought it looked pretty good. And then over here on this side is Devil's Tower in Vail by Giselle Robinson. It's an oil painting. So there's one oil painting in the Senate in the northwest corner of the chamber. That's called August Fields by Bill Yankee. There were three photographs that were loaned by Tom Schaefer, and they're in the lobby. And then there's one on the second floor rotunda called Hydrodynamics by Sue Summers. It's an acrylic and collage on four canvases, and it's an interesting piece also. We continue to work on trying to get donations for the legislature, and it's really kind of a fun committee to sit on. But if you see these people or you know them, why, thank them very much for their donations. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Remember, folks, this is the last day of Senate Files on General File. Representative Blake, you may have privilege over the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to talk about, there's 11 individuals who work in this Capitol, and they are called Division O, Capitol Protective Services. I didn't know all their names. I imagine you don't know all their names, but due to the nature of their mission here. They can't all be standing up here, but I would like to give them all a hand. Let me read off all their names, and we'll give them all a big hand. First off is Lieutenant Cleef Gunther, Supervisor. Troopers Clayton Barker, Mike Ritter, John Jerkins, John O'Connor, Gabe Testerman, Lindy Kitchener, Joy Simone, George Nyken, Shane Swilling, and Chuck Carruthers, and they make me feel a lot safer when I'm up here. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of Division O. We really appreciate it. Representative Edmonds, you may have privilege of
the floor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be very quick since we don't want to kill any Senate files. I'm in the chair today, though. We're going to get through all those Senate files. Very quickly, one other family member, the youngest one. You've already met my sister-in-law, Dr. Hope Edmonds, but she drove all the way up so we could see the youngest member of our family, my wonderful niece, Johanna Remy. Give her a little welcome.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Representative Horstman, you
Thank
may
you,
have privilege.
Speaker. Just checking to make sure all you Mustangs. It's our last Monday, and we have our Pride and Excellence pins, Mustang Monday. So make sure you got it on. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Berger, you may have privilege of the floor.
No, Mr. Speaker, I did not grow over the weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, you should have on your desk the hotline survey announcement, which is to do a survey on the use of the hotline this session. And you also, some of you have been very good about returning your laptop survey. Both of these surveys would be really helpful to our Legislative Effectiveness Committee if you would have time to do that before you leave. The Legislative Technology Committee is going to have a meeting on Thursday, I believe it is. So it'd be nice to have as much information as we could get from you. After all, it is your system, and we'd like to have it working as proficiently as possible. Thank you, and have a great week.
Representative Zwanitzer, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a little unusual when I come up to the podium to welcome someone else's relation here, but in the back stands there today, we have Representative Dan Zwanitzer's grandparents, and they just also happen to be my parents, and my mom's just getting ready to celebrate her 85th birthday.
Well, it's good to have three generations of the Zwanitzers in the house at the same time. Thank you for being here. Anyone else? We're at that. Excuse me. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 6. Mr. Speaker, the Senate has completed consideration of the budget bill, House Bill 1. In accordance with JR 14-1G, the bill has been referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments for final consideration by both houses with respect to both budget bills, HB 1 and Senate File 1, and the amendments thereto. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 193. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed above by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution 4, Mandatory Judicial Retirement. Ayes 13, no 17. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message number 199. Concurrence failed. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 72, Wyoming Retirement Plan Contributions. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 30. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 200, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 72. The Senate conferees are Senator Nicholas, Chairman, Senator Massey, Senator Coe. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 201, Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 1. The Senate conferees are Senator Nicholas, Chairman, Senator Meyer, Senator Peterson, Senator Townsend, Senator Massey. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We are at that order of business, a request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a revised list. Mine is dated 9:27 a.m. The first one is House Bill 25, Chairman Landon, message 177. The first message for our consideration is message number 177 on House Bill 25, Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence of message 177 and urge concurrence on this difference. The Senate added a provision in this bill. This is the bill that was concerning the subsidy for child care for low-income families. And the provision that the Senate added was one to give the division a little more flexibility whenever they set the co-pay rates. And that was because it's difficult to predict future demands. And we did not want there to be, in lieu of this, them having to start a waiting list or something like that. And so I think that this was a reasonable amendment. And I'd urge your approval.
Anyone else for their first or second time? We are voting on message number 177 to House Bill 25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Oh, excuse me. We probably ought to do a roll call on that. Yeah. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 25. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks. Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 25. Mr. Minority Leader, would you come up for a moment, please? The next message for our consideration is message number 178 on House Bill 26, Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message 178 concerning House Bill 26 and ask for your no vote. We had a provision that we'd worked on in this bill that if testimony given to the medical review panel was materially different from what was brought up in court, that could be admissible. And the Senate took that out. And so we'd like to have a discussion with them on just what their philosophy was and why they thought that was not important. So I'd urge your no vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 26. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby,
no.
Barbuto,
no.
Berger,
no.
Blake,
no.
Flickrey,
no.
Bonner,
no.
Brechtel,
no.
Brown,
no.
Buchanan,
no.
Byrd,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Carson,
no.
Childers,
no.
Cohey,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
no.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, conflict, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Filth, excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 no, 2 excused, 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 26. The next message for consideration is message number 188 on House Bill 110. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 188 to House Bill 110 and ask you to vote aye. Mr. Speaker, as this bill left the House, there was some concern that there might be some misunderstanding of people endowing the colleges and the university. And so the Senate found a way to, I think, clarify even farther what we had. And just before on page 2 and page 5, what I call the disclaimer clause that said if the funds are not available within the account, the amount of substantial endowment gifts to the foundation may be accumulated until such time as the matching fund becomes available, the Senate added after, just before what I just read, prior to the receipt of any substantial endowment gift, the donor shall be notified by the foundation that there may or may not be any state matching funds available for the gift. And on line page 5, the same language was added. So I feel that this further clarified and would stop somebody from misrepresenting that there might be some money available that what might not be. So with that, I request your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 110. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks. Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Filth, excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 110. The next message for a consideration is message number 190 on House Joint Resolution number 8. Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 190 on House Joint Resolution 8 and urge your aye vote. This is just a simple addition to
Section 2 that basically adds that the resolution be officially entered in the congressional record as a memorial to the Congress of the United States of America. And if there's any way we can get these resolutions to be considered by Congress, the more efforts that we make, the better. So I would urge your aye vote.
Anyone else? Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I was just curious as to an explanation of what that record as a memorial means.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I think it's a memorial for anybody that puts a no vote on this. I'm not sure, Mr. Speaker. I guess I can't answer that, but I just think it may strengthen it.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 8. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner. Bonner. Brechtel, Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
no.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi, Jorgensen,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Landon,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson, Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Byrd, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 8. The next message for our consideration is message 191 on House Bill 27. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Senate amendments to House Bill 27 found in message 191, and I ask for your favorable consideration. In their quest to insist on a report from just about everything, the Senate has added a provision that the Department of the DOT will submit an annual report to the Appropriations Committee and the Highways, Transportation, and Military Affairs Committee on October 1st of each year with regard to activity with the Armed Forces license plates, fees, and distribution. In other words, how many of these were sold and what was the expense to the agency, and was it revenue neutral or did it cost the state anything or did it actually make a little bit of money? So that is the rationale for the report. Asked for by the Senate, and I would ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 27. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd. Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon, Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 27. The next message for our consideration is message number 192 on House Bill 84. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to Senate amendments to House Bill 84, found in message 192, and I ask for your favorable consideration. There were two provisions added by the other body. One of them is similar to the last bill to ask for a report indicating what the numbers of license plates produced by the DOT for a Gold Star license plate, what the costs were, and what the revenue stream was to DOT to make certain that it's at least revenue neutral and not costing the state any money. Section 2 was added that in the event that this bill passes $3,000, or excuse me, that the event in the event the last bill passes, the Armed Forces license plate, and in consideration of this bill, if approved, that $3,000 from the Veterans Commission Expendable Trust shall be expended to cover the costs of these license plates. And in discussing it with the individual that operates the Veterans Affairs Commission, they thought that was an honorable thing to do. So I would ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first or, first or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 84. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo. No. Berger. Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan, excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 84. Madam Minority Caucus Leader, would you come up for a moment, please, Representative Millen? The Conference Committee on Senate File 72 is Pedersen Chair, Throne, and Teeters. Senate File 72 Conference Committee, Pedersen Chair, Throne, and Teeters. The Conference Committee on House Bill 26 Medical Review Panel will be Brown, Chairman, Bonner, and Millen. Thank you. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
Senate File 2 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 15.
Senate File 15, introduced by the Mental Health, an act relating to involuntary commitments and emergency detentions, Title 25 revisions.
Senate File 15 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to limited liability companies.
Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Bill number 18, and I will explain. I'm trusting all of you did your homework this weekend and went home and talked to your friendly local attorney about the use of LLCs, limited liability companies. I explained last week my aversion to this massive overhaul of one of the most pristine and pure forms of a business entity I've ever seen in my life. And since I didn't get a report back, nor do I know what the results of your inquiries were, I have proposed this amendment. And I will just give it to you in summary, as I promised the good representative from the land of the Poposia that I would not talk a long time. This amendment simply exempts the existing law from the effect of a repeal. In other words, we're going to have, if this was approved, if my amendment is accepted, we will be allowed to proceed under the old LLC law or under this new fancy version we have from Wall Street. And either way, I'm fine. Whether we vote this bill down or whether you'll allow us to have this amendment, I hope there's those of you that have talked to your local attorney and found out that our current LLC statute is very workable within the state. We like it, and there's thousands of these out there, all of which are going to have to be recalled along with your Toyota for some adjustments. I'm sorry, I used another name. Along with your Japanese car, I used another name along with those people we fought in the Second World War. In any event, this amendment, if you look at it, it takes out some of the early language about its applicability, and I won't go through it line by line, but then it essentially leaves what we have. Now, what I'm saying is I'm not asking you to destroy what has been built over the last 2 years by some very good people. I'm just asking you to leave what we have on the ground alone. And if you vote this in, then I won't get cranky during third reading. If you don't, well, I'll have to try again then. Thank you very much.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the Corporations Committee met 3 times, 2 days each, in May, August, and November, and discussed and worked on the LLC law. Numerous members of the bar spent hours up here in the state capitol on the telephone and worked on the LLC law. I don't know how many times, but it was over 5 that those members worked on it. Members of the state bar were notified that we were going to be working on the LLC law. And so I'm against this proposed amendment. The particular part of the LLC law that the gentleman from District 3 is really works in is called the close LLC law. That's in, found in Statute 1725-101 to 109. It's a simple process for LLCs, and we did not change that particular piece. So I would ask you to vote down this amendment. The Corporations Committee, plus numerous folks, have worked very long and hard on it. We think it's a good piece of legislation. We brought to you the Business Corporations Act last year. This act is considerably shorter. That new Business Corporations Act has worked extremely well. So believe in us, the Corporations Committee. I think we've done our job. Thank you.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd urge you to vote against this amendment. What the effect of it is that if we pass the amendment, then we have two LLC statutes. So we have two sets of rules governing the same thing. And if you think that there is confusion now, wait till we have two completely different sets of rules and all kinds of crazy opt-in positions and all kinds of provisions that are mutually exclusive and mutually conflicting. If the policy decision is that we want to keep the old statute, then vote against the bill. If the policy is that we want to work on the new statute that the committee worked so hard on, then vote for the bill. But don't take this approach and vote for both. That's really a bad idea.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. The other thing to keep in mind is that you don't have to change a single thing about the way you operate your LLC. Not one single thing. All you have to do is, if you have an operating agreement in place, this doesn't change the fact that you can, through your operating agreement, figure out how you're going to operate your LLC. If you don't have an operating agreement in place and you're relying upon the old provisions of the statute, all you have to do is do an operating agreement that incorporates those terms. And you can keep doing what you've been doing forever. It doesn't change a single thing. All it requires you to do is within 4 years, you have to actually look at your operating agreement, which is what you should be doing anyway. This bill is not intrusive on existing LLCs. It gives 4 years to review the existing law and make any changes that you want to make. So I would ask you to vote against the amendment.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm also on and against the amendment. And let's talk about some things a little bit. This claim that it's from Wall Street, that just isn't true. You know, our original LLC statute was cobbled together by some oil and gas lawyers that were trying to affect a tax result. And they were successful. And our state was the first state that had an LLC law that was recognized for tax purposes, which is really what it's all about. And I talked about that the other day. I'm not going to saw sawdust over that. But it's not Wall Street lawyers. Because of that, the entire nation took note of that. And believe me, this is tied to the Internal Revenue Code, and our little LLC Act is nothing compared to the Internal Revenue Code. And it's tied to it. It makes the Internal Revenue Code work for you under certain circumstances. So as the nation took note, lots of people gave lots of thought to this and took this cobbled up act and said, well, that's a good start. And then problems started to come up. And I guess that leads me to the next contention that the current law is very workable. If it's very workable, and I just got confirmation a little while ago, the .com case that was referred to hasn't been to the Wyoming Supreme Court 3 times, it's been there 4 times, and there's still not an answer. Now, if that's what you call working well, then we can really have a lot of fun in this legislature. It's not true that all of these have to be recalled. And I went back and verified that. And the Standing Committee Amendment is really important because the major changes, there are some major changes in this law. Now, if you have an operating agreement that speaks to those changes, nothing's going to change. If yours defaults to the state statute, then there are some major changes that are going to occur. There's some things about management provisions. There's some things about division of profits, and this is really troubling. And I gave you the example the other day of the huge software company where one guy starts it with $1,000, increases it to billions of dollars, and then somebody else puts the same $1,000 in and says, well, now I'm equal to you because we both put in the same
amount of money. Those are very troubling provisions, and this act addressed them. And then some provisions about the distribution of assets on dissolution. Those are major changes that if you're using this act as your operating agreement, you need to do something about it. If you have a written operating agreement that addresses those things, this act is not going to change it. And if you need to change because of the default provisions, it gives you 4 years to do so. Now, here's one more point that I didn't make the other day. Do we really want to be a backwaters, backwoods state with a quirky little law that nobody's comfortable with, that's totally out of step with the other 49 states, and then hold ourselves out and say, well, we're business friendly. Come to Wyoming because things are simple, and people are going to read the old act and the case law and the changes that have been made in the new act and say, there's no way that I'm going to allow my LLC to come under the jurisdiction or form an LLC under the jurisdiction of that state. It's way behind and has failed to address the problems that have proven to be troublesome in these LLCs. So for all those reasons, I would urge you to reject this amendment, stick with the new act, and let's bring ourselves into line, into uniformity with all the other states.
Is there anyone who would like to speak for the amendment? Chairman McComey.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I've got some questions that I'd like to ask to take advantage of all this pro bono work we've got going on here. The existing law, you know, is there a tax consequence if we stay with the existing law? And if, in fact, we pass this, does everybody that has an LLC or all the LLs, are they going to have to then go and within a certain period of time change how their whole structure so that they'll conform to the new law? Because is there some type, ties back to the tax consequence issue. And then the third thing I have is this law that we keep hearing about in court, now it's been there four times back there. Is this a one thing, a special thing, that because dot-coms are something of their own, but how many other businesses would this apply to? So I'm just curious because, you know, I'm not against the big change, but sometimes changing because other people have decided that there's a better way to do it. When we were the ones that started all this revolution, maybe we need to think about it for a while.
Jeremy Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer some of those questions that just came up, I think the good gentleman from House District 56 from Casper already answered that you're not going to have to make any changes. As to the dot-com case, that had more to do with the operating agreement, which was a document drafted by an attorney. It had very little to do with our statute. But I wanted to, simply because the good gentleman from District 3 brought an interesting idea with this amendment. And since all the other lawyers were piling on him, I smelled blood in the water. And like all the other fish that I am related to, we gather. But I can see where he's coming from. I mean, he has a serious point that I can remember when LLCs were the new thing back when we started this in the 90s. And we were all told this was, you know, groundbreaking, that Wyoming was on the cutting edge, and we all got very proud of it. It was something we walked around with a badge of honor, that this was something we had created, that something we should be very proud of. And it sort of has had problems, and we don't always like to admit something that we created has problems, and especially when the solutions are coming from out of state. But, you know, we have to fix it. Change is hard. We don't like to admit that something we had needed fixing. But he also raises a good point that attorneys like himself that are small town attorneys that can do everything, the more we make things more and more complicated, we're pushing the law more and more towards specialists, where we're pushing small town attorneys out. And I can't solve this through this bill, but he makes an excellent point that by creating more complicated and more diverse type of legislation, it's getting harder and harder for small town attorneys to be diverse. And I commend him for bringing the amendment because it raises this issue. However, I would urge you to vote against his amendment, but it was a it's a good point and one not to be missed.
Anyone else for their first time? For a second time? Representative Brown?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I just think there's a little bit in here of stop the world I want to get off. And consider the fact the population of this country is going to double again in 50 years. And help me understand that we're going to double the population again in 50 years. We're going to have all these fertile minds, all these business organizations, all these arrangements, innovation, things that we've never even thought about 10 years ago, like wind power. And tell me these statutes aren't going to change. They will change. They evolve with time. They become refined. Somehow this is being cast in a negative view. These changes to the Limited Liability Act improve it. And there's no threat in here to an existing limited liability company that has an operating agreement that addresses these things. And if, for instance, if your operating agreement says we're going to divide our profits and losses 50-50, that's not going to change with this act. Nothing's going to change. And if it says we're going to divide our profits and losses on the basis of the contributions we made to the company, and one person puts in a buck and another person puts in $2 and it's 2-1, that's not going to change. But the question is, what's it going to do if the operating agreement fails to address that point? And if that's the case, there have been serious reservations about what the current act says. And so this is an improvement and makes it clear about how profits are going to be distributed. There are, to my knowledge, I hate to give tax opinions up here, but to my knowledge, there are no tax consequences from the adoption of this act. A limited liability company is going to be, boy, I feel like I ought to be putting a caveat in here, but a limited liability company, to the best of our knowledge, is going to be treated the same under the code after these changes as it was before. And we just can't stop the world and get off. And we can't say, well, every new thing that comes along is makes something worse. This is intended to make it better. And if somebody can show me where it makes it worse, if there's a specific thing, then we ought to amend that or really think about it. But we think this is an improvement on the act and, most importantly, addresses some things that were never in the old act. Like, for instance, member-managed limited liability companies. 75% of our limited liability companies are little ma-and-pa companies, and I think they're member-managed. And I've written operating agreements that says this is a member-managed limited liability company. But the statutes never said that. And now the statutes say, specifically say, if you want to have a, you can have a manager-managed operating company or limited liability company, you can have a member-managed limited liability company. That might have some consequences in that if you have a member-managed limited liability company and there's no statutory recognition of that, maybe somebody might take a run at this thing sometimes and say it's not really a limited liability company, it's a partnership. Because when members manage it, it's a partnership. In order to have a limited liability company, you have to have a manager-managed liability company. There are a lot of subtle little things like that in there that really need to be addressed. So this is good legislation, and I would urge you to reject this amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Earlier, well, last week, I said the three horsemen of the apocalypse, the attorney members of the committee, disagreed with me, and now I have a fourth horseman who really likes what I'm trying to do but wants you to vote against me, so, and I do appreciate the comments. Well, we have 100% of the lawyers against me, so I think that puts me on the winning side. And I took so many slings and arrows here. I have to explain something. First of all, as the previous representative stated, about 75% of our LLCs are these little ones. And the Secretary of State's office reports about 32,120 LLCs exist in Wyoming. Now, remember that, 32,120, most of which are small. And under the new law, you don't have to do anything with this if you have everything covered in your operating agreement. I've been involved in some litigation, and most of your small-town accountants will tell you most of our LLCs do not have operating agreements. They are these little ma-and-pa things. And I want you to remember this, and this is why it's so hard to convey, and it isn't because I'm just a little small-town attorney. I mean, of the ones that were here that spoke against me, they're all from larger firms. I'm a firm of dad and son, and we are by twice the biggest law firm in our town. The two of us are the biggest, and that's where a lot of us are. And I want you to understand what the current LLC law says, and the reason why we crow about the four times the dot-com case went up. Under the LLC law, it is so beautiful. It says, do this, 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 file this document, and you are an LLC. Everything else you guys agree to by contract. Now, contract law is not something new. It's far older than LLC law. It gives the two people, the three people, the 50 people, whatever number, the power to contract their relationship. It's almost like wedding vows. They can do those elsewhere. They get the license, they get the protection, and then everything else is contractual. Why is that bad? I'll tell you why. Because four times a case goes to the Supreme Court and somebody's whining, I got caught in this Star Trek type loop and I can't get out. And it was too bad, but here's what happened. The LLC statute says that when you dissolve or when you disassociate from an LLC, it dissolves. But they had an agreement that said, we won't dissolve when that happens. And then one of them withdrew, and that left them in this pickle. They had agreed that it wouldn't dissolve, and yet one of them disassociated. And it was a problematic case. And there was a lot of heart-rending decisions by the Supreme Court, but it was caused by their own faults, and it was caused by their own contractual arrangements. That is one case in 30 years. And the fact that they keep ping-ponging it up to the Supreme Court doesn't make our law bad. One case. Four times, each time they got to go up and whine a little more. I don't think you'll see a dot-com five. The Supreme Court got so mad at him, it just said, this is the way it's going to be, and we don't want to see your faces again. Now, there's one other case that's gone up, but that one got resolved. It was a case of no operating agreement. It did raise some more issues, but it was beautiful. No operating agreement. The rules are this. If you associate, if all of us throw money in, and we associate under an LLC, and we do not have an agreement, we all participate in proportion to our contribution. We all share in profits and losses in proportion to our contribution. And when it dissolves, we all get a share in proportion to our contribution. My God, that's primordial. That is so basic, and I don't know why it's bad. I just don't understand why. And you got to remember these trusts, these brain trusts we throw together for these complex laws. When they say we had meeting after meeting after meeting, yes, you do. And every month in the Bar Journal, we read a group of lawyers are going to work on this or work on that. And there weren't sole practitioners involved in that because they can't take the time away from their office to get involved in that process as much. And when they do, and I did go to the meetings after they'd started, I didn't get involved early because it wasn't my committee, but by the time I got there, the train had left the station. They had declared this an old antiquated law. We're going to fix it, and we're going to fix it the way the big boys do. We're going to get Delaware and all these other states that have the case law. And to say that, we're tying ourselves to national forms. The only, I think, good argument that I did hear from the representative from the county that has the mineral our president loves, coal, he did point out that we will have two sets of LLC statutes. And I do recognize that as a problem. We're going to have the old one, the one we were the pioneers on, the one that leaves it so simple, you folks go out and cut your deal. And we're going to have this far more sophisticated, complex one that says, cradle to grave, here's how the world's going to work. And it will be a little more problematic. But think about it. The ones that are already in existence, they're not going to worry about it. They're just going to keep right on going because they don't have to worry about anything, do they? The law says you're going to participate in accordance with your contribution. All of that's laid out, or they have their operating agreement, and none of those have had a problem except the LLC stat, or the except the .com case. So don't let's not get ourselves all uptight about giving these people the freedom to continue to function the way they are. And the last thing I would say is I want you to remember that these 32,000 plus LLCs, figure that out for your county. They don't keep track of them by counties. I tried to figure that out. But those are going to be a lot of people who are going to be going in with a lot of questions about what the heck do we do if we don't say, don't worry, the law that took care of you is still in place. Don't worry. Don't get your panties all bunched up. We're going to take care of you by leaving that alone. Stay where you are. Any new ones, we're going to be fine. You can, if you don't say, you're going to go under the new law. You have to make a special opt for this one. So we are setting the track to take them. And remember this, right after this bill passes, you are going to see seminars presented by the attorneys that participated in this, seminars and warnings to all attorneys. You must bring yourself up to date on this new LLC statute, or it will be malpractice per se if you don't go to all these seminars and study and understand what all the traps are now that exist under this new law. I love it. I love it the way it is. I love it because of its purity, and I hate to see you toss it out. I mean, if you don't like it in a year, you could still repeal it. You could still come back and say, okay, well, we heard too much bad about it, and you could KO it then. So I'm going to ask you, at least think about keeping this thing on board the way it is. And if you did talk to your hometown attorneys, as I hope all of you did, I hope you take that into account. Thank you very much.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 18. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. Senate File 18 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for a consideration is Senate File 23.
Senate File 23, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to unemployment compensation.
Senate File 23 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24, introduced by Senator Martin, an act relating to community-based in-home services for seniors.
Senate File 24 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to administration of government competition.
Senate File 27, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to the administration of government, Wyoming Investment and Nursing Extension.
Senate File 32, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34, introduced by Senator Escobel, an act relating to insurance coverage, continuation of insurance coverage.
Senate File 34, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by Senator Hines, an act relating to water development, Gillette-Madison Water Project.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 36. What this does is change the date from immediate to July 1st to 2010. The reason for that is all of severance tax distribution has already been made for this year, and so it needs to start with the next year. A simple explanation of the bill, of the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 36, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 36. Ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, it is again with some trepidation that I come up and find myself in opposition to my good neighbor and chairman of Select Water in a committee of the whole amendment that was proposed on Friday. And I want you all first to think back to Friday afternoon, not quite the dark and stormy night scenario that I'd like to paint this landscape, but I wanted to bring this back again for all of us to discuss what happens with our vote on this committee of the whole amendment and, of course, the purpose and need of it. Now, if you remember what we did in that committee of the whole amendment, we readjusted, if you will, our percentages of what we call our below-the-cap dollars in our mineral severance tax distribution. And what we did was divert 0.5% out of what is dedicated to go into general fund revenue, took that 0.5% and stuffed it into account 3 of water development funds. The justification, I think, was an intention of the legislature to pay back the $16 million and some change that we're going to be taking out of account 3 to pay for level 2 of the Gillette Water Project, the Gillette Madison Water Project. Not to spend much time or really any time on the merits or justifications of our participation in this worthy project for our neighbors up in the northeast corner of the state, merely to have a discussion about how we're going to pay for it and where this money's going to come from. Of course, I tried to resist the committee of the whole amendment within the 5 minutes I had reviewing that and not having enough information in front of me. Now, I was able to get a handout sent out just moments ago to try and help you work through this as I go through this, and to try and figure out, of course, what the net effect of this. The first question I wanted to answer was recognizing that, of course, we have a substantial amount of money in account 3 right now, and the number is in ballpark numbers, $123 million. Now, what happens, of course, if we leave our below-the-cap distributions alone and pay for this project, this level, this next phase for this project, and at what point is account 3 made whole? Meaning, at what point, with interest and the dedicated 0.5% that's going into that account right now, at what point do we bring that account back up to the level that we see today? And on the one handout, you'll see that it shows in the biennium of 15-16, we see that account brought back up to the $123 million again. The reason I wanted to shine a bright light on that, if you will, is perhaps our vote on this and the consideration of dedicating more money to this account was not taking into account the interest, and in fact the enormous amount of interest that this account generates. And you'll see that as well on that handout. The account right now, we're projecting the interest of that account to generate $6 million every biennium. In fact, that's a very conservative amount of money that when you look in years past, that account has generated between $9 and $10 million every biennium in the last 2 bienniums. Now, the the handout with the very small print was done to show you, of course, the effects of the amendment that we voted on and, of course, what happens if we do nothing. With the amendment in place, with the diversion of an additional half a percent, what happens after 21 years, after we have fully repaid that $16 million that we took out? In the fiscal year 31-32, account 3 will have $194 million in it. And then right below that, we'll see that if we do nothing, then the account 3 will have $171 million in it, $172 million. So basically what I'm trying to show you here is that the net effect of that Committee of the Whole Amendment, we, unbeknownst to some of you, I think, we voted on a way to provide for additional savings into account 3. Now, of course, if that's really what you want to do, we can have that discussion. But, of course, we have to demonstrate purpose and need of that, which I don't know if we have clearly done that. And that clearly account 3 is a good source of funds for this project, and that we can pay for it, and that account will be made whole. The other thing that I wanted to also shine a light on, when you have, all of you have your goldenrod in your boxes today, and I forgot to bring mine up, but I asked our analyst, that's okay, our analyst to highlight the effects of that Committee of the Whole Amendment, and it's shown in two different places. What that does, and I did bring this up in our discussion last week on Friday, is that we have now basically obligated future budgets for the next 21 years a deduction, an additional deduction out of general fund dollars, $1.5 million every year. And this will be projected out for the next 21 years. In closing, Mr. Speaker, I would just like to say that really the question is and should be that a look at changing below the cap percentages should be done in the context of how well these percentages are working, what needs are being met, and which ones are not being met. And to cherry pick, if you will, one, and not understanding the unintended consequences of the others, then I think that's we have been remiss in our duties as far as our fiduciary responsibility.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, for my first time, I'd like to ask the previous speaker. He said $1.5 million a year, and I'm getting whispered in my ear, okay, it's $1.5 million a biennium. Okay. Mr. Speaker, I haven't dug into the detail of this as the previous speaker did, and I thank him for the work that he did. But look, to me, it comes down to a simple decision that we need to make. The original bill said that the water was going to be paid out of Water 3, and on page 4, line 20, it said, it is the intent of the legislature that Water Development Account 3 will be reimbursed for the amount of this appropriation in the future. That was the original bill. The amendment comes along and says, no, we aren't going to do it in the future. We're going to start right now, and we're going to tap the severance tax money that would otherwise go into the general fund to the tune of $1.5 million a biennium until it's paid back. And the thing that bothered me, there's two things that bother me about this. Number one, we've scrambled around here struggling with the general fund, struggling with cities and towns and other things and looking for dollars, and they're kind of tight right now. And I thought we spent $20 million, admittedly in the future, but we spent $20 million out of the general fund without really talking about it. The other thing that bothers me is this bill says the total project is $217,600,000. And I'm afraid that we're laying the groundwork here for arguments in the future that every time an advance is made out of Water 3 to fund this thing, that we put a commensurate deduction on severance tax money flowing into the general fund, such that the Water Development 3 is cash flowing this thing, but the actual burden, the actual payment for this is coming out of the general fund. And so that's the two issues that I see that bother me, and that's the reason that I agreed to be on this amendment. I think we ought to have a discussion. If that's what everyone wants to do, that's fine, but I think it went right over our head the other day.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ultimately, we shouldn't be funding this project out of Water 3, because Water 3 is for dams. We're funding it out of Water 3 because we don't have enough money in the general fund. And so, you know, we need to move forward with Phase 2, is my understanding, and I don't have any skin in the game in this thing. I would much rather just fund it out of the general fund as well, because we can't, in water development, swallow a project this size. It's just too big. So we don't have the money in the general fund, so what do we do for Phase 2? We come in and we steal some money out of Water 3, which we've decided that as a policy we're going to do that, even though that violates the principle of what Water 3 is for. This is just a way to try and recoup some of that money back into Water 3, because we shouldn't be stealing that money anyway, over the long term, out of the general fund, back to Water 3 to recoup that account. That's what this is about. So I am on and against the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment. I didn't speak on the first amendment when it was proposed, but I had the same trepidation that you've heard, and that is, if we start taking general fund monies and directing it like is proposed in the amendment that we just passed, I think it's a mistake, because that's a precedent I don't think we want to live with going forward. So I urge your support of the second reading amendment and passage of the bill when it comes up.
Representative Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, I am on and against this amendment also, because I guess it's a fine line about when the future starts. I guess that's a very fine line. But the reality of it is, I firmly believe that if we don't start setting this money aside right away, the future of making Water Account 3 whole, we will probably never see that day. So I think this, I actually think this is good policy. I think it recognizes two things. It recognizes the need for the project for the community based on the same percentages. We know it's a big project. I personally had a problem with funding this out of Water Account 3. The intent is spelled out in the bill that we're going to start paying it back. So I just think we need to do it and start right away. So I am on and against this amendment, and I am in favor of the bill.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment, I'd remind the body that Water Account 3 is kind of a new phenomena. I mean, it's not been here for 20, 30 years. We've just had that, I don't know, the last 8 years, maybe 10 years. So that's kind of a new thing. The other part of this is that there's no water stolen out of Account 3, as was said. It's really we appropriated it because there's simply not enough water or money in Water Account 1. And I'll tell you, this project is for a community that is really growing and might be the largest community in Wyoming someday in just a few short years. And so instead of kind of sticking money in an account that we created for someday, for maybe a dam that may or may not be built, I think it's important to continue this process of regionalization on the two-thirds, one-third, just like we've done in Natrona County. The state did two-thirds, the locals one-third, just like we did in Sweetwater County, Rock Springs, Green River, and all across the state. The state has been in two-thirds and the locals one-third. And so I think I said I'm definitely on and for this amendment. I'm not sure, I might have had a little slip and said against, but for the amendment. And I just don't, I think it's, you know, unwise to start tinkering with percentages on cap money. And let's just leave that alone, and we'll find a way to pay it back. We said we will, and when times get good again, we'll pay it back. So urge your adoption of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Anderson.
Of course, I'd urge you to resist the amendment. You talk about taking funds out of
something else and something else. Well, this is exactly what's happening here. And the original bill says that 10 of the legislatures replace the funds. This is the way to do it. The assumption on the bringer of the amendment was that we're not going to build a dam ever. In the next few years, we could very well be spending all this money at one time on a large water project. So I'd urge you to resist the amendment. The account three was set up in 04, took a percentage from there, but started in there. This merely pays it back on an installment basis. The money will still be there to be used, and there's no interest involved here. In the original amendment at all. It just makes a lot of sense to get started on this and on the installment and get it paid back, if that's what the intent of the legislature is. If you do away with the amendment, you go back and say, well, we got an intention to pay it back. Well, if we do, let's do it. Let's get started on it.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In favor of Amendment 2, annually we see projects of entities funded from mineral severance tax, federal mineral royalties, all kinds of mineral flow, University of Wyoming, community colleges, county roads, highways, all kinds of things. Water is a little bit different. Annually, you know, we fund water projects, not from all accounts, but one or the other. It's a matter of the way you look at it. We have account 1, 2, and 3, different utilizations of all three, but ultimately we're going to have some large-scale projects. If it's not a dam, it might be something else. Some very large projects have been funded right here in this city that has no river running through it. And at the time, I don't believe there was a water account three, but some way or another, it was all funded mostly from mineral wealth, production of minerals in the state of Wyoming. Why would this particular and specific project require moving a formula flow of cash out of the general fund into water account three? You got to think about that. Why would that be? If this becomes a policy decision here, at what point do other particular and specific projects trigger formula changes for repayment? I don't know. We move money in all kinds of accounts. Much of it is used immediately and ongoing out of mineral flow. It goes to, again, the University of Wyoming Community Colleges, and that is used on an ongoing basis as they receive that cash through the year. However, as you know, water accounts are somewhat different. We salvage that money and save it and hoard it up, reasonably so. It's a conservative legislature, and we've done great things with that water account money. We save money from mineral wealth to be prepared, as I had mentioned, for large-scale projects. This is a large-scale project. Does this project make sense as a large-scale enough project to be using water account money from whatever source without removal from the general fund? It's my opinion that you come back a year or two from now, and you really wish that that money had been in the general fund.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I don't know how many of you have attached to your bill what was mailed or given to us from the Water Development Commission, but it explains to us the Water Development 3 account. When it was done, there was $54,070,000 transferred from Water Development 1 to Water Development 3. These are the funds that would have been used had we not didn't have a Water Development 3. Also, this project falls within the purview of what you would use money for Water Development 3 for. This is an underground reservoir that is being tapped to supply a community that's there. On and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time, Representative Brown. Excuse me, Representative Teeters, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, we all have our sacred cows down here, and those of us, we like to protect our own little areas and our own little corners of the world. This is the equivalent of funding the community college system out of the school foundation account. That's basically what we're doing. We're taking money out of Water 3 that is designed for large water projects, and we're building a pipeline and drilling some wells. Now, we've all come to the table and said we don't have the money to do that right now. What's reasonable, though, and it says in the bill that the intention is that the legislature pay the money back. All we're doing is we're setting up a process by which that can actually happen. If we don't intend on paying it back, why don't we just take that language out and say we're just going to take the money? But I would urge you to go ahead and defeat the amendment and let's stay the course and focus on the ball here, as the good coach would say, and try and protect this account.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think I heard Water 3 is just for large water projects, and I don't know. I come down here, and $1 million used to be a lot of money back in my hometown when I was a little kid. Apparently, it's not a lot, but this project's $217,600,000. I don't know if that's a large water project or not, but back where I came from, that's large. And then I heard, well, we've got to steal the money out of Water 3 because we basically can't afford this project. Well, if we can't afford this project, why are we diving in here with 20-some million dollars worth of planning money, which it's my understanding this $24 million or whatever it is won't turn a shovel of dirt. Nothing tangible is going to happen. Well, where are we going here? And what are we stealing money from? And should we save for this project? Or are we just blindly going to go off and obligate ourselves? And, you know, we could deplete Water 3 and we could have a huge obligation on the general fund or on the flows into the general fund trying to replace this. So what's our plan? Where are we going? And if we don't have one, why are we starting into this at all? And if we are starting into it, an intent to with the idea that that account will stand the expense and someday when we have the money, when we have a blip or a spike, we'll pay it back. That's fine. That's a lot different to me than saying, well, we're going to start into this project and we're sort of philosophically obligating ourselves right here that we're dinging the general fund for $217,600,000. So I continue to think that this is the wrong way to start, and I would urge you to vote in favor of the amendment.
Representative McComey, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I misspoke. I said I was against the amendment. I am for the amendment because we're using the money that was in one, moved it to three, and that's what it should be from.
Chairman Anderson, for your second time.
Thank you. Let's get the history straight, people. That $54 million that was in account one had been used by this legislature to fund the general fund, and it was being paid back finally when we finally got some money, so that there was a lot of water projects that went by the side in the meantime because this legislature seemed fit to use those water funds for other purposes. So there happened to be enough money to pay that back, and then we put it in water account three because to build a large-scale reservoir, which when we talk about large-scale water projects, that's what we're talking about, is reservoir takes a lot of money. There are some on the board that we're working on now. It'll take a long time to get permits and all the rest, but there are several places in the state where another large water projects, large reservoirs, could be built. That we're going to increase the size of Pathfinder by 54 million acres. That money has already been appropriated. But there's other places on the rivers that can be adapted if we can get the permits and get the work on it. So the money should be used if it'll get paid back. And if it is in the intention of the legislature to pay the money back, this is the way to do it. And it won't hurt anybody very bad. And in the meantime, before 2032, we may be building the dam and needing all that money and then some. I just think we talk about stealing funds. Well, the water accounts has been appropriated out of many times. Let's get busy and get it paid back if we intend to pay it back. If not, well, let's take it out of the general fund to be.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Stewart.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There does seem to be some, or we should have some discussion about, okay, general fund or type 3 discretionary funds or the earmarked discretionary funds. Anyway, these funds we're talking about are fully within our control and authority to spend as we please. And of course, the accounts in the water development funds 1, 2, and 3 are earmarked discretionary funds, which, depending on what color you make them, they're pretty much general fund dollars, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the sky is not falling. Water account 3 is in good shape. And I showed you in the handout our fiscal profile of this. Water account 3 will be made whole in a few years if we approve this amendment. And I think we've spent enough time, and thank you, Mr. Speaker, for allowing us this time on this. My number one intention was to ensure that we did take a good look at this and know what we were voting on.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 36. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 has failed. Senate File 36, having been read 2 separate times, question and division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Amendment has failed. Senate File 36, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Lockhart, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the special privilege. There's two outstanding couples from Laramie that are down here, and they've, I think, seen us before, but they're back again. Penny and Gary Esplund, and if they'd stand up, they're my right, your left. They have the great bed and board in Laramie. And next to them is Rod and Maxine Chisholm. And Glare, I can't say, they're here. Rod is a retired dentist, but he was chosen as the outstanding cowboy fan last year and recognized throughout the state. And Maxine was one of the first nurse practitioners to graduate from the University of Wyoming. Good friends, and let's give them a house welcome.
Welcome, Espelins and Chisholms, to the House. Nice to see you both, all of you. Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor, if I may. It's with great pleasure that I introduce to all of you Wyoming PBS, in conjunction with the award-winning series A Place of Our Own, is pleased to announce the 2009 Outstanding Wyoming Child Care Providers of the Year. These individuals were nominated from all over the state of Wyoming, and then a panel of judges went through the nominations. And these six individuals all provide just exemplary, outstanding child care in their homes. I'd like to introduce them to all of to you. Up in the balcony, we have Terry King of Jackson, April Dullum of Buffalo, Jeannie Creel of Casper, Michelle Emmett of Worland, Aaron King of Casper, and Heather Wagner of Worland. Thank you for what you do for our children.
Thank you, ladies, for providing such good services to our children. Representative Brechtel, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the west balcony, we have Megan Bowers, teacher with her fifth grade class from Crestview School in Casper. Please give them a welcome. Thank you.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. The dragons are here. What's the dragon sign? Show us the sign for the dragons. Is it like this? That's what I thought. Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, introduced by the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 37, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41.
Senate File 41, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 41 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, the other day we had quite a discussion on general file as to whether or not this program was still necessary. And I think I came away from that discussion thinking that perhaps it was with regard to special education and foreign language teachers. But what I couldn't figure out when we had that discussion is why we came with an amendment that extended the program basically for 5 years. And I look back at the program, and it looks like we had created it in 2005, and we had it for 6 years, and now we want to extend it for 5 years. And I thought because of the rather ambivalence of the body with regard to the need for this program, that it would be wise to bring an amendment, and what it basically does is makes this program go through 2012 rather than 2016. I think a shorter period of time is more prudent to see if over the next couple of years that this program is really needed, and if it is, it will be funded through this amendment through the next biennium. So right now, as the bill sat, you know, this program was due to expire in 2011 in the middle of the biennium. This amendment takes it throughout the biennium, will give us a chance to take a look at it after a two-year period without extending it, I think, unjustly and unjustifiably until 2016 under the current bill. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, as the good speaker Majority Floor Leader just explained, this money was appropriated in 2005 and has been diminishing as it's been being used. So there was $400,000 left, and we gave it a $100,000 haircut because the university decided that it would last through this extended period of time, $300,000 would last based upon its usage. The main purpose of this fund is takes Wyoming graduates. You got to qualify for this assistance. And it asks them, it says, we're willing to assist you based upon your need, your financial need. With some additional money, if you will take some of these highly sought after certificate positions of teaching, such as, you know, we heard language learning, science majors, all of these ones that we can't get enough recruits for. You heard testimony on general file of all the high schools in Wyoming that are having to have teachers teach this thing that aren't really certified. They have to come to the Board of Education and get waivers. So we're short these type of people. And yes, even with the amount of money we're paying from bringing students in from out of state, these are such highly difficult areas to teach in, math, science, etc., that we're not able to get these type of recruits even with the money we're paying in Wyoming now. So this is a Wyoming project. It's a policy decision of the legislature. If you want to keep this project for Wyoming students to hopefully bring more of them into these positions that we really need in Wyoming, and they stay in Wyoming because they have to pay this money back by staying in Wyoming. If they leave and go someplace else, then they have to pay it back. So it's a policy decision. So I'm going to speak against the amendment and ask you to, as a body, make a policy decision.
Anyone else for their first time or second time? Representative Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just, you know, we don't really have this problem in our bigger communities, but let's face it, a lot of our kids, when they graduate, they want to go. They want to leave. They want to go to the metro area south of us, and live in the big city, do those kind of things. And we constantly hear about our kids trying to keep them in the state, grow their families here, grow our state. And this deal's had an impact, there's no doubt. There's several in-state kids at my school right now under this program, math teachers. So, you know, I think it's just be careful about being too short-sighted. This is Wyoming kids who qualify for need for hard-to-fill areas. And, you know, it might not be so hard in Casper, Cheyenne, but some of our small communities, a lot like doctors, man, you just, it's hard to get math teachers. It's hard to get foreign language teachers. So be careful, I think, and I'm going to urge you to vote against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time or second time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of the amendment is not to debate at this moment the merits of the program. The amendment does not do away with the program, and I cannot disagree with the fact that we want to keep our kids here and we want them to have jobs, want to fill these perhaps hard-to-fill teaching positions. That's not the point of the amendment. We can all agree on the statements from the good representative from House District 54 and the good representative from Natrona County. That's not the point. The point is that we have to be somewhat fiscally conservative as we look ahead, number one. And secondly, we heard kind of both sides of this argument on general file. And what I've done with the amendment is said, look, let's take it out even beyond, it's already on for another year. The amendment takes it out a year beyond that for an entire biennium so that we can come back when we're crafting our next budget and say, is this still necessary? How many teachers have taken advantage of this program? We heard a debate on that the other day, and I wasn't really sure. Wasn't really sure why the bill takes it out another 5 years. And I think that's actually too far-sighted, given what we know about our financial condition and given what we heard on somewhat of an ambivalence on whether or not the program was needed. The amendment takes it for another biennium. Let's take a snapshot at that time, see if it's working, see if it's justified. If it is, we'll continue it. If it's not, we will end it. Thank you.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. Division may be called. All those in favor, please stand. The amendment has failed. Senate File 41 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to the general revision of laws, obsolete laws, general revisions.
Senate File 53 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to Senate confirmation of gubernatorial appointments.
Senate File 54 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to consumer protection, telephone solicitations by cell phones.
Senate File 57, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to veterans burial.
Senate File 62, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 71.
Senate File 71, introduced by Senator Hastert, an act relating to disposition and disposal of remains of military personnel.
Senate File 71 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74 introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to subdivisions, parcels.
Senate File 74 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The last bill for our consideration is Senate File 75.
Senate File 75 introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to school district employees' benefits.
Senate File 75 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Madam Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for consideration of bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Representative Edmonds.
Madam Majority Whip. Committee of the Whole is called to order, Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If everyone will pick up their list of general file bills, we do have some changes that we're going to make here this morning and through this afternoon. Please strike Senate File 20, and everything on the front page then stays the same. And now if you will turn over or right, probably on the back side, we have changed the order significantly. So if you want to write these down, this is the order we're going in on the back side. Are you ready? 52, 22, 59, 13, 45, 39, 20, 64, 31, 66, 61, 48, 25. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chief Clerk will get you an updated list over the noon hour. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 69. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 69 introduced by the Natural Resource Committee, an act relating to Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. The bill was further referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Stewart, excused, Philp. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Childers.
Madam Speaker, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 69 do pass, and there are no standing committee amendments, and I will explain the bill. You folks should have received a handout such as this, if you look at me, that explains the projects item by item. Also, The projects themselves, it discusses what the total cost of the project is and also how much that we're contributing into it. Then it talks about whether it's an easement or not and what it does in the way of improve habitat or improve forage, remove invasive species, and so forth. And just briefly, this whole project that we've been going along for 4 years usually has a 6-to-1 In other words, $6 or $7 of outside revenue for every dollar that's spent. It's removed a lot of Russian olive and salt cedar, which is considered a problem for natural resources. It's helping the sage grouse, and it's creating jobs. For instance, in the Grable River, invested $300,000, translating to 10 jobs, $15 an hour. And I could go on and on this. But for the last few years, this select committee has reviewed these projects. As far as I'm concerned, the House bill of this trust fund, which created natural resources over just wildlife, has been doing an excellent job. And as I said, I could go on and on about what this project does. And I would mention that the money on this project is not coming out of the general fund. It's basically, part of it's out of the general fund, and then part of it is just interest out of the income account. And we tried to match that interest and new revenue or general fund money to generally match what the income would be, or the interest income would be, from the trust fund itself once it's established at its level of $200 million. But I'd be happy to answer questions on it, but it's a good bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 69 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 69 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 78. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 78, introduced by Senator Burns and acted into Game and Fish, illegal fish stocking. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6. Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Shepperson, Thompson. No, Millen. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Childers.
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 78 do pass, and I will explain the bill. This bill addresses the public waters of the state, and basically what it's trying to do, or what it is doing, is increasing the penalty from a small misdemeanor to a high misdemeanor for illegal stocking of fish in the reservoirs, and actually that could constitute other areas, since anything, since the waters of the state, or the waters in this state belong to the state, and coming from practically anywhere, if people are putting illegal fish, I'm not saying legal, illegal fish in the into the reservoirs or into the streams. This is what we're trying to do. It does say the court may at its discretion revoke any license issued under the act to any person convicted of the violation. And basically, they can suspend their privileges for life. And since we have a reciprocal agreement with other states, that could mean 35 states that you lose your ability to hunt and fish in those states. It's a serious matter, and that's why we're proposing it in the manner that we're doing. And we also are proposing, if necessary, to recoup the money that it takes for the Game and Fish Department to try and take care of this issue. There are several lakes that have created a problem in the state. Buffalo Bill Reservoir, for one. Walleye fish has been introduced into the waters. There's other state or other parts of the state that they've introduced species that are not compatible with the reservoir that we have. Some people would say they're interfering their rights with their private ponds. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have a private pond, whether it's a privately owned fish hatchery, artificial lake or pond, or a fishing preserves, the Game and Fish Department has to permit those. They also tell you what kind of fish you can put in those. And if you put fish in, or fish eggs, other than what they agreed to, you really are illegally stocking. It hadn't been pushed that hard, and people are trying to be reasonable, but if there's an overflow out of that pond, it can get into the large reservoirs. So people should take precautions when they have these privately owned fish hatchery, artificial lakes or ponds or fishing preserves, and that's basically talking about under 100 acres. There should be precautions not to add fish or fish eggs that could create problems in other reservoirs. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We do have an amendment. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 78 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, we had gotten to the bewitching hour in the TRW committee and knew that we wanted to add some language to make real clear that when someone has lawfully stocked, for example, their private pond, that there would be no repercussions under this bill. And so that's what you see with the Committee of the Whole Amendment. So what we've done is we've added a new subsection B that says the escape of lawfully stocked fish or fish eggs does not constitute a violation of this section. So what this would take care of, for example, is in a lawfully stocked pond on private land, if it blows out and fish or fish eggs end up in a place where we don't really want them, that landowner isn't liable. So I ask for your favorable consideration of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Question being called. We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole 1 has passed. We are back on the bill. Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I've got a little bit of confusion, I guess. The way I read the bill, we're dealing specifically with public waters. The committee bill that we killed in the House dealt with private and public. So I guess I need you to explain, you know, your language. The good chairman's discussing how this does impact private ponds. I don't believe it does the way I read it, but if it does, that makes my argument a lot stronger, and so I need to know whether or not that's the case. My second question is whether or not the Game and Fish has ever actually caught somebody willfully and wanting to put fish where they shouldn't be. And if that is the case, then maybe there is merit for an enhanced penalty here at raising the penalty from what it is now. If they haven't ever caught anybody doing this on purpose, I don't see the need for the bill.
Chairman Childress.
Well, Madam Chairman, I didn't really hear the first question, if he would repeat it.
Representative Teeters.
I just want to verify, Madam Chairman, that this bill doesn't deal with private waters at all, private ponds. I read it, it says public water, and that's the difference between this piece of legislation and the piece that we killed on introduction in the House. I just want to verify that I'm correct, because I heard the good chairman from TRW talk about how this does impact private ponds.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chairman, the legislation that was brought here as a committee bill versus this bill, it did pass. Back out the statement where the public waters in existing statutes had backed that revision of the statute out. And that statement specifically refers to public waters. However, as it's been pointed out to me by several attorneys, All the waters of the state are public waters. All the waters. And what you're doing on your private ponds, more so under 100 acres, you're only permitting to allow fish that are compatible with that drainage. And if you, and you're cleared to put those type of fish in those ponds or lakes, artificial lakes. But if you go beyond that, you're violating the law. Now, what this is doing, which ties into the second question that he's talking about, is has anybody ever been caught? No, but the law is not very strong. It's a misdemeanor now, low misdemeanor. By putting it at a high misdemeanor and also having a deterrence of you're going to lose your license or your ability to fish or hunt in 30-some-odd states, it's a deterrent. We know it's happening. We know it's happening now, but we haven't been able to catch those. And it isn't that we are going to say that's automatically a fine. You'll note that it's up to the discretion of the judge. And typically, first offenders or second offenders, just like with DUI, they don't come on as strong. But it does change it to a high misdemeanor, and we would hope that it would deter these people from doing that, because if they're caught, the consequences could be very severe. And this state is well known for its primary or its blue ribbon trout streams, its blue ribbon lakes, whether it be like in Boyson Reservoir, that's a walleye lake and it has varying species in it. But Buffalo Bill was intended as a trout lake, but it's got walleye in it now, and it's also got some lake trout in it. But what I'm saying is we're trying to prevent that. This state has taken the position years ago that we're going to control these things. Some states aren't as strict as that, but we are. And historically, that has been our position. And we're just trying to keep it that way.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think this is an end-around attempt from what we did on introduction with a similar bill with respect to kind of changing terminology. If we're talking about public waters, that's waters and private impoundments. I thought we already spoke on that issue and said we didn't want to do it. This, to me, is a way to kind of circumvent that. So I believe that's the way I understand it. Thank you.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just would definitely urge you to vote now at the, no at this point. There's been some legal wrangling going on, and I appreciate the honesty, at least, from the good chairman so that I understand, so we can all understand what the bill does. But the bill does regulate all the waters of the state. And so I definitely have concerns about the taking of a private property right there. And also, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to raise a fine to $10,000 when the Game and Fish hasn't issued a single citation. It just that doesn't make any sense. So I guess at this point, I would urge you to vote no on the bill.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a question for the sponsor of the bill, and this just relates to some legislation we passed earlier in the session. If you have a mussel on your boat, that's a crime, but if you purposely throw a mussel into the water and we don't pass that bill, that's not a crime. Is that right?
Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chairman, if I understood him right, he's talking about mussels and not fish. I don't believe, but, I mean, it could be some legal wrangling going on there. I don't believe this statute specifically addresses mussels. which I think are a little bit different creature than what we're doing with this. But I would say, going back to the other issue, of course there hadn't been anybody convicted on it. We hadn't caught anybody yet. But on the other hand, the issue's getting worse, so there's a reason to consider it. It hadn't been that long ago that the walleye were introduced into Buffalo Bill Reservoir. And also Pathfinder's an example, and I can't think what species was put into that reservoir, but it is a more recent event because they hadn't been there before. And what we're trying to do is take care of a problem. And we're leaving it to the discretion of the judge. Think about that. So, again, I'd urge you to vote for the bill.
Any other discussion? Mr. Speaker.
Madam Chairman, page 1, lines 12 through 15 of the bill. Looks to me like this law was written in 1939. No person shall plant or release any fish or fish eggs in any public waters of Wyoming without the consent and under the supervision of the department or its authorized personnel. And this isn't anything new. We're just adjusting the penalties, which is what we seem to be constantly doing with game and fish violations and making misdemeanors high misdemeanors. But probably the most important element of the bill is the civil penalties provision in subparagraph D on page 2. And then the revocation under subparagraph C. I mean, if you have a statute with no penalty, there isn't much sense in having the statute in the first place.
Representative Brown.
Well, Madam Chairman, that's exactly right. And look, it's starting to get a little bit like yelling fire in a theater. Let's just think about this for a minute. There are places in this state where different kinds of fish don't belong. And we've had this law in place for a long, long time that says you can't illegally stock fish. We've had laws in place for a long, long time that says you can't stock a pond anywhere without a permit from the Game and Fish. That was a policy decision made, I think, probably before any of us were in the legislature. And it continues to exist today. And it's so damaging. And it's sort of like the mussels. By the way, I don't think a mussel's a fish. I think it's a quad or something or another. It's a different deal. But there are just some things that are so dangerous, like these mussels, and there's no remediation. There's no going back if they get loose. If they get loose, that a long time ago, for reasons we probably can't even remember, the law was made. There's no illegal stock in the fish, and all this does is change the penalty. But let's not go back and repeal what's been a long-standing public policy in this state, which is you can't be mixing up fish in different bodies of water. It's something that there's no remediation for. We don't want people doing it, and it's prohibited. It's been prohibited for a long time. On and for the bill.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, this is about the penalties. It's not about the fish, not about all of the other things that we've been hearing about. This is just, do we want another one of our policy decisions? Do we want to raise the penalty, or don't we? On and for the bill.
Any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 78 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Senate File 78 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move that the House rise and beg leave to sit again at 1:15.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor? Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
House will be in recess until 1:15. Committee announcements. Chairman Lockhart.
Madam Chairman, the Minerals Committee will meet jointly in room 302 with our counterparts down for interim topics right now.
Chairman Landon.
Madam Chairman, the Labor Committee is going to meet jointly up in room H17, just as soon as you can get up there.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Joint Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources Committee will present a briefing tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room 302 with the concern that we have about the grasshopper infestation and control measures. So if you don't have anything going in that time and you're feeling some inquiries back in your district with respect to this issue, we'll have members of the our State Department of Ag and our federal people here to provide some information with respect to that grasshoppers. Thank you.
We are in recess until 1:15.